Hello, welcome to the Going Upstairs podcast from Opening Up Cricket. We're now on to episode 65 and we're going to be having another go into our pre-season series sessions, which were originally broadcast live on Zoom and they're also available on YouTube for you to watch. But of course, you're listening to this because you're a podcast fan. This episode has Chris Liddell as the guest. Chris is the bowling coach at Northants, having had a first-class career principally with Sussex and Gloucestershire. And the topic of what we're talking about here is meditation for cricket. Meditation is something that I've found huge benefits in my life from, and it's often difficult to explain to people who don't practice it how you do it and what it does for you. So it's great to chat here with Chris about his experience of using it in his game, but also the ripple effect it has through other areas of his life. So I hope that people find this useful and maybe go ahead and try some of the apps like Headspace and Smiling Mind to give it a go for yourself. But otherwise, here it comes. Okay, well, we'll get started. So we're on now to the sixth of our pre-season series sessions. And this evening I'm joined by Chris Liddell, who these days has got his coaching cap on at Northants as their bowling coach, but has had very recent experience in the first class game. And we're going to be talking this evening about meditation for cricket and a few different perspectives on that, about how people can use it for their game, but also the wider utility for it. So with that in mind, Chris, as we start off, I suppose the first question is, how did you come to use meditation? Because it certainly, for a lot of people, is something which doesn't appear obvious to them until they've been down the road of actually trying it.
Yeah, it was a funny one, really, because I probably never really looked at doing it in the early days of my career. I actually look back now and think, you know, I'd have benefited from meditating and taking a bit of time out to think about things and just get your mind in, you know, in focus of what you want to sort of work on or what you're looking to achieve over training, life, whatever. I think I'd have benefited if I'd done that early on. It actually came about me doing it when I was going through a bit of a bad time, really, with cricket, with life. From the life point of view, my wife was heavily pregnant. We were having troubles with the pregnancy in terms of we were having to go to hospital quite often. And that was when I just joined Gloucester as well. So I've left Sussex, a team that I had so many great memories with. Looking back, I wasn't ready to leave. I didn't want to leave because I was so happy and settled there. But that's part of sport. You know, you move on, you know, my time was up at Sussex and it was time to go elsewhere. So we obviously moved to Bristol and I signed for Gloucester. And it was a tough time, really, because we've moved then away from friends, further away from family. As I say, my wife was pregnant and, you know, she was going through a bit of a tough time with the pregnancy. And then obviously my cricket was struggling as well in terms, I hadn't settled. I can't knock the players, the support staff at the club. They were fantastic, but it was just a big change for me, being uprooted, I suppose, from Sussex to now living in Bristol. So I suppose I was a bit all over the place in terms of I hadn't settled. There was a lot going on outside of cricket. The cricket wasn't going so well. I just needed something to help me focus or just, I suppose, help me switch off, because there was just so much sort of going on. I didn't really think I had control over what was happening, and that carried on for quite a while, really. My wife got ill in pregnancy, so she developed sepsis, so she had to stay in hospital for quite a while. I had to call Richard Dawson and say, listen, I don't think I can come back to cricket for a while. I need a bit of time out. Things aren't great at home. I've got to look after my wife and now my newborn son. But thankfully over time that sort of changed. But during all that, I was taking time out to, on an evening or whenever I had a moment to actually, you know, it was an app that I was using. It was Headspace. I'm sure there's other apps out there that people can use. But for me, this is just one that I started using, but I picked that up because there was people in the gloss changing room that were using it. And I could sit, I'd go in there and I'd see them with the, you know, the earphones in, they'd sat there, they'd be sat there just relaxing. And then they'd go out and train. I was all, and that got me interested into why they were doing it. And then they told me it helps them, you know, get focused on what they want to do, calm things down, gives them a bit of, you know, awareness of the body or whatever it might be. It just helps them get ready for the day. And I thought, you know, I could do with that, really. I could do with something that could switch me off from what's ever happening at the moment and just, I don't know, just give me a bit of focus on what I was trying to do. But there was other things I used it for going down the line. That was preparing for cricket and not just trying to switch off from things. So it was really helpful in a period of time that was really difficult for me.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying there about the circumstances of first trying it. My own experience, it's not the same scenario, but it was through almost being forced into trying something different because circumstances were challenging. And like you, I often think if I tried it earlier, the benefits that I've now seen, I would have had for longer, but obviously you can't do anything about that as you go along. When you started off, how long did it take you to get into it as a habit or a routine? Because often it can be that people struggle to make use of it because it is something that's quite different to how we usually behave.
Yeah, at first it took a while to sort of to get into it. It was almost like sometimes I got into bed and then I'd be like, oh, let's put the app on, let's listen to it, let's chill out, let's help me switch off from everything that's going on so I can get a good night's sleep. So it was a bit like that to start with. Going on, and I carried on using it, using the app for a couple of years, really. Going into cricket, it was then part of my routine. When I got to a ground, I'd get in my place, I'd sit down, I'd put my earphones in, and then I'd just switch off from everything, just relax, listen to my app, listen to whatever, whether it was focusing, whether it was preparation, whatever setting I sort of put it on or a bit that I chose. I'd sit there and just have my time for a little bit and get myself ready for what I was about to go and do. And that was part of my cricket routine then when it comes to training or when it comes to playing, is that's what I'd do when I got in. I'd have a 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes to myself of just, right, and then I'm ready to go and do things. So it came part of my everyday routine, especially in cricket.
Yeah. That's got to be key, isn't it? Making it part of a routine so it doesn't seem like it's something so far out of the ordinary. So when you've used it, when you've started using it in terms of your preparation for a game or for training, did you ever pick up that there was some benefit from it that would then influence what you did on the pitch itself? Did you draw on any of the techniques in the middle of a game?
Definitely breathing. I thought breathing, having control of your breath and slowing your breathing down, making yourself a bit calmer so you're not sort of, you know, in cricket when either things aren't going too well or you're in the heat of the battle, you can sort of like tense up a little bit, you can get a little bit excited. So being able to be aware of the skills that meditating helps with, actually, I'm just going to take a step back here, a couple of deep breaths, just calm things down. My focus is then a lot sharper on what I'm trying to do. I'm taking emotion out of things a little bit and being a bit more logical on what I'm trying to do because I've calmed myself down. And I think I learned that a lot from doing the meditating. It's actually just taking a step back, calming things down, calming the breathing down, lower the heart rate a little bit, and it helps me focus. It's sort of like every time I did it, it was like I'd sharpened up for whatever I was going to do. So even if I did it and it wasn't, if I did it and it was in training, the morning of a training day or whatever, it helped me have focus for what I was going to do. So I'll be thinking clearer about the day rather than just being a bit muddled or, yeah, just crack on with anything. Let's just get going. I'd be like, actually, that's what I want to get out today because I've spent time to actually get myself ready for the day.
Mm. Yeah, it's always important to see how it can then go transfer into action rather than in those moments when you are meditating. There's that peace that surrounds you,
but it can quite easily then be the chaos if you don't carry on some of those things with it. So how did it interact with other techniques that you would use mentally in cricket? Was there a complement with other things that you utilised?
I'm not sure, really. I mean, give me sort of an example of what you're trying to.
So, if you've used your meditation and some breathing exercises, were there any other techniques that you tried to do in terms of maybe your routine or just your preparation that were more around your mind skills?
It was visualizing. And again, this was in the gloss change room. It was brilliant to go into that change room and look at what some of the guys did. They were ahead of what I've seen in other change rooms in terms of the mental well-being and trying to get themselves mentally prepared for training, for the game, for whatever. You could see them meditate. Not everybody, just people, because some people needed to, some people wanted to, some people didn't want to do it. They didn't feel they needed to, and that's absolutely fine. But the lads that wanted to do it and needed to do it, you could see their routine of they'd meditate, they'd do the breathing, relax themselves, and then what they do is have their iPad or the phone. They'll be looking at footage of when they've done really well, whether it's going to be against a team that we're about to play, whether it's just in general, whether it's going into a training day and they want to work on certain things, white ball, red ball. They'd look at footage and remind themselves of when things have been really good for them. So they give themselves that real feel good before they go out there and do it, which I thought was really powerful, because sometimes, you know, as players, you just get in, drop your bags off, right, boom, let's go again. Let's get on with things. Actually, let's take a step back and just make sure you're fully prepared for what you want to do, because otherwise you can just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And if you are on that cycle where things aren't going well and you keep doing the same things and you can't get out of it, then you can sort of like get yourself in a bit of a tricky place, really, where take a step back, have a think, relax, refocus, have clarity on your day or whatever you're looking to do, which was, I picked up from the gloss change room. It was really, really effective.
Yeah, that's good. And I think there's a good overlap between, like you've said, the approach that meditation can give you, that you are a little bit more distant in some ways, that you're not so reactive, and then visualization can go on with that. In your, I'll move on to coaching side of things in a moment, but in your time as a player, what role did your self-talk have? So the kind of conversation that you'd be having with yourself, either at the end of a mark or between overs or at any point like that, was that something you were conscious of, or it's only now that you look back that you maybe can view how you had the conversation with yourself, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I was definitely, when things were going really well for me, especially my time at Sussex and sort of the back end of my time at Gloucester, and I felt really happy with where my cricket was at and what I was producing. I always had a bit of a routine when it got back to the end of my mark. I'd sort of park anything that had happened after I'd bowled the ball, whether it was good or bad or whatever. I'd acknowledge it. I'd walk back, and as I was about to receive the ball off mid-on or mid-off or anyone close by was throwing the ball back, I'd take a deep breath. I'd take a deep breath and confirm to myself what I'm looking to do. And then I'd almost have, in my run-up, I'd have a little stamp or something just to trigger, right, I'm going type thing, just to get my, right, we're off, let's go and do it. And I'd be concentrating on what I was trying to deliver. That was a little pre-ball routine that I had. And I think it started early days at Sussex. I picked it up and just had it and kept it going. It made sure I was clear on what I wanted to do. On the flip side, when things weren't going too well, I was rushed. I was like, give me the ball, I'll just ball. My thinking wasn't clear. I just wanted to either get the over and done with, or just fire it down there, because I was like, I'll fight. I'll try and bowl my quickest ball, or I'll just try something. there was no real clarity in what I was trying to do. I wasn't clear. I was just fighting myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So having that routine at the start that calms me a little bit, gives me focus, really helped. Again, I'd lost that when it wasn't going well because everything else was an issue, or there was always something else going on. So my focus wasn't on what I was trying to do. It was just always an issue. The wicket's no good. There's no bouncing it. Or, do you know what I mean? There's always other things that he's dropped a catch again. That's me. There's always other things like that rather than me just focusing on what I want to do, which is when I was at my best, that's what I was doing.
Yeah. So it sounds like the optimal state was where there wasn't much chatter in your head. It was just the focus on the routine.
Yeah, it's stuff that I could control. When I wasn't at my best, there was stuff that I couldn't control. I can't control if someone drops a catch. I can't control if someone misfields. I can't control what the wicket's like or the weather or I'm bowling into the wind. Why is it always me? All of a sudden, there's excuses coming in. As to be, if I look back and think, you know what, I was a bit, you know, it was a bit rubbish from me, really, thinking, having complaints about all these different things when I wasn't looking internally and being like, actually, you're not bowling well enough. Let's have a look at why we're not. Let's take a step back. Let's think about things. Stop fighting or picking holes and every other thing. Just concentrate on yourself because it's me that's got to do a job for the team. Not, you know, if I'm not doing my job, I'm letting the team down. So having that, that's when I started meditating and started taking time out using the app, using the Headspace app and just calming myself down. I got a lot more clearer of what I was looking to do and what I needed to do my job. And that helped me. So my second year and third year and fourth year at Gloucester were way better than my first year because I was clear in what I was wanting to do.
Yeah. Now, taking you away from the game, so part of your reason for starting it was all the things going on at one time and it being hard to focus and manage things. What benefits has meditation brought in terms of that work-life balance and whether that's as a player or a coach being able to have some headspace, for want of a better term, from what you're doing for a job to what you do to relax and spend time with family and so on?
Yeah, I mean, it's full on. It's coaching from what I've, you know, realised the last year and stuff. You sort of never switching off. There's always something going on. There's always a player that wants a bit of help or wants a bit of advice or wants to chat or there's another coach that wants to speak to you or there's pathway. There's always something, which is brilliant. I absolutely love it. I am aware that I do need a bit of me time. I do need to be able to switch off and whether that's me having 10 minutes just on my own and just switching off, controlling my breathing, trying to relax a little bit, trying to resharpen my mind, refocus on what I'm looking to do rather than sometimes I can get involved with everything and all of a sudden I'm here, there and everywhere. And it's like, whoa, right, take your time. Which is what I learned from using the app over the years is, you know, I don't necessarily need an app, but I'm self-aware of when I need to actually just take that time and take a step back. Sort of like recalibrate myself, right, this is how I'm going to go about doing this. This, right, I'm ready to attack what I want to do, which has been, you know, I think, I don't know whether meditating's for everybody and some people won't want to do it, but I needed it and I'm really happy that I did that. I'm really happy that I've learned things that I can control and I'm more self-aware of me when I need to take a bit of a step back and, you know, get control of things a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Excuse me. And I think that is a key, that it's not necessarily for everyone, but the outcomes that we've discussed here probably are for everyone. It's just their route to being able to develop that awareness of it. Moving into coaching then, how have you found that meditation and the things that are associated with it have impacted the way you work with players?
I think it's made me a bit calmer, a bit more understanding of people, actually trying to understand people a lot more, how they work, how they tick, whether it's, you know, it might need a little bit of nudge sometimes for me to help them. Sometimes I've got to take the foot off the gas and just help them relax and feel comfortable. I think it's because it's helped me sort of understand myself a bit better. I sort of I'm trying to make sure that I'm understanding the players that I'm working with, and not everybody's coached the same way. That's the beauty of coaching. It's finding out the individual and what makes them tick. When you see signs maybe that they need to take a step back and be like, you know what, just relax. Don't train today or have a bit of time off or whatever. It's fine. Like, I think the hardest thing I did as a player was have to tell Richard Dawson, I can't play. I need to take some time off because I won't perform to my best. I'm not doing you or the team any favours by me being, I need to be with my family. And that's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But he was very understanding. He said to me, listen, there's more important things in life than cricket. Family's the most important thing. So go and do. And I took a lot from that, a huge lot from that. So if I could recognise if players struggling or having trouble, I'm always there to help and support them, because that's the main thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And particularly at this time, we were discussing earlier about how the training and the coaching is working at the moment, a little bit different to usual. Of course, people are thinking a long way away from their day job, whether that be cricket or anything else. A couple of other things here that I wanted to throw at you. In terms of when you picked it up, you've mentioned that this was sounds like a pretty progressive and curious dressing room at Gloucestershire, where people are trying things like meditation, visualization, and that seems quite open. How popular would you say, from your experience, meditation is with professional cricket players?
I don't think it's very popular at all, if I'm being honest. I didn't really see much of it my time at Sussex. I've not seen a great deal. Whether people do it and they do it at home and they don't do it at the ground, that's fine as well, isn't it? It's a preference of where they do it. I think it's something that, again, that people, you know, you've got to explore these things. You explore things with training all the time in terms of what you do with the bat and ball and on the field or different techniques. This is all part of it. This is all part of getting your mental state fully prepared for either sport, cricket, or life itself. It's part of, you know, people say it's a muscle that needs to be exercised. It's like being in the gym and stuff. So you need to explore things like that. Sometimes, as cricketers, if things aren't going well, we just keep going, cricket, I'll keep training. Actually, taking the time to get yourself mentally ready for whatever you want to do, or mentally prepared, or being able to just calm things down a little bit, is so important. I don't think there's that much of it in the county game. I think it'll be a few people, or a handful of people, that do it. It really opened my eyes when I walked into the Gloss changing room to see these lads doing it. Chris Dent, massive on it. Benny Howell was massive on it. These guys do it all the time. So, you know, it was fantastic for me to see how they went about it, and they did it, and how religious they did it, I suppose. Every training session, every match, morning of a match, or I think Chris Dent was, every time he went out to bat, he'd meditate, and then he'd have his iPad out in front of him looking at footage and stuff, then he'd go. And I don't think it's any coincidence that he's scored so many runs over the years, because he's just really focused on what he wants to do or what he needs to do, and there's nothing else sort of clouding his judgment or his mind or anything. He's really focused on things. So that off my, I'd encourage more people to do it, but I get that some people won't want to just do it yet. They might wait for a time that I had, where it was difficult and tough, to then look into it, which it's not too late, but you know, being able to control things earlier on is massive.
Yeah, and I think that's almost the challenge for people in whatever walk of life who have practiced some meditation and have seen the benefit, trying to tread the line between wanting to pass it on to other people because it's been such a benefit, but then not wanting to be a bore about it and always be sort of saying, you should do this, you should do this. It's a tough balance. I'll throw it open now. If anyone has any questions, just put them in the chat or the Q&A. But my final one, which is based along this line, is if we're an agreement here that it's something that's certainly worth trying for players and indeed anyone. What do you think is the best route to advocate it to someone, to give them that nudge to give it a try?
I don't know really. I mean, I came about it because I, you know, spoke to the lads and they recommended this app, and I tried it and give it a go, and it was free for a week, and I thought, you know what, I'll try it and see what happens in a week. And then a week turned into a month, and a month turned into 2 years. I did it for pretty much, not every day, but pretty much every day. I mean, there was some times when I didn't do it, but I felt really happy in myself. I felt really comfortable and didn't think I needed it. Sometimes when I felt, you know, actually, I just need, there's a lot going on. I need to try and, you know, switch off or do something. That's when I was like, I know what to do. I know how to do that for myself. I know how to get myself in a good headspace by meditating and by taking them that 10 minutes or 20 minutes or doing it a couple of times a day because you've got the time for it. That, you know, that helped me massively. And give it a go. There's no harm in giving it a go. There's no harm in doing it for a week and seeing how you feel at the end of the week. I think if you don't try things, you'll never know. Simple.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for anyone watching or listening who does practice it, being it having in some way some endorsement to your teammates at whatever level you're playing can be quite powerful, because someone you don't know saying that they use it and it's useful is one thing, but then if it's someone who's in a similar setting to you says it's made a benefit, particularly if that's a player or a work colleague or someone who we look at and see that they perform well, it might be something, there's a little hook that we have there.
Yeah.
My final question is a little bit more, not technical, but is a bit more involved with the meditation itself, particularly with the headspace. This is purely me being curious, Chris, having used the same app myself. Which bit of one of those kind of 10 or 15 minute programs do you find the most, I don't know about enjoyable, but most effective? Is it when it's a focus on your breath? Is it when you may be instructed to just allow thoughts to come and go? Or is it something like the body scan element?
It was the allow thoughts to come and go, because you sort of, everything was happening. All thoughts would come in, you'd be thinking, and all of a sudden everything would just calm down and you'd start thinking a bit more clearly about things. But I think that involves that you've actually slowed things down, you're breathing slower, you're allowing these thoughts to come in, but you just get a bit clearer as the app goes on. You come out of it and you think, boom, there you go. I know where I need to be at. I know my thoughts, I know what I'm looking for. I've focused, I've calmed things down in my head, it's a lot clearer. But it's great to explore all of them. It's great to really, you know, just let yourself go and let yourself, you know, get involved in it and see where your mind sort of takes you. Or, you know, you learn a lot more about yourself by doing these things, what works for you, what doesn't. I mean, I know I was saying about that, if I come across a player that might be struggling, or he comes up and says a few trigger things like struggling to sleep, I just can't focus, my head's everywhere, my first thing would be to say, listen, have you ever tried meditating? Have you ever tried just trying to switch off? Have you ever tried just... Because a lot of people say, well, you need something away from it. Go and play golf, or go and play. I find golf more stressful than cricket. I try to play that and I lose three balls. It's like, so actually just taking spot out of it and just having to recalibrate myself in a way, or just, you know, just sharpen things up a little bit or calm things down, I think it's important. But it's looking for them little triggers, isn't it, that people might say that they're struggling with. And I definitely encourage, you know, come on, try the app. Just give it a go. Try an app. Try any app or whatever. Just see what works for you.
Yeah, that's it. If more people did try it, even if the hit rate isn't 100%, I think we would see then more people trying it, finding that there's something effective, and then that's someone else to pass it along. And we might have a next wave of players and people who are, as a result, more mentally healthy as a result of that. So, Chris, that's great. It's a pleasure to chat about this kind of thing, and really refreshing to hear the story about how it came around for you and how it continues to have these benefits. So I'll sign off by saying good luck with the rest of the pre-season, and hopefully, as we said earlier, fans back in the grounds for this summer, and it's back to normal as much as possible.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure coming on and chatting.
Cheers, Chris. Thanks, mate.
Cheers. Take care. Bye-bye.